Red Sox open up a series this weekend with the Yankees after taking 2 of 3 from Philadelphia behind Justin Masterson last night. This evening, Wade Miley gets the start against Nate Eovaldi for the Yankees as they play the weekend series before coming back to Fenway for the home opener Monday afternoon. Speaking of baseball, let's get some insight into Major League Baseball right now as we're joined on the phone by our friend Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated, MLB Network, and just hanging out with Keith Olbermann when he has the time. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, the baseball season is off to a terrific start, and what do we know? What have we learned in the first 4 or 5 days?
Well, I don't know that we've learned a ton. I mean, we've got the Braves who are rebuilding off to a 3-0 start. We've got scoring very low, a lot of shutouts so far. We've seen pace of play pick up a little bit. It's tempting to attribute that to the new rules, but shaving about 10 or 11 minutes off of the average game. I'm hesitant to jump to too many conclusions here. Obviously, first time through the rotation for the Yankees, some signs of concern, for example, but I don't think you can write anybody off after one start.
Interesting, the starts that a few people have had on the positive side, one of them being Matt Harvey coming back from Tommy John surgery, and things went about as well as anybody could hope for in his debut.
Yeah, he looked great yesterday. Found his dominant form pretty quickly against the Nationals, and it was, for all the buildup, it lived up to the hype. He struck out 9 guys and outpitched Steven Strasburg, who, like Max Scherzer before him, didn't get all the defensive support he could have used.
Another guy swinging the bat like crazy out in Los Angeles is Adrian Gonzalez with a record 5 homers in the first 3 games. Obviously not a pace he can sustain, but the kind of thing the Dodgers need early in the season.
Yeah, without Matt Kemp and Hanley Ramirez, they've lost 2 of their top 3 home run hitters last year. So for Gonzalez to step up is a big thing for them. He hasn't hit 30 home runs since I think it was the 2010 season, his last before undergoing shoulder surgery. But he did hit 27 last year, so I think there's hope he can get back to that 30-homer level and be a centerpiece of that offense.
Already some injuries, too, starting to mount. Detroit putting Joe Nathan on the DL, Justin Verlander as well. Should there be some cause for concern in the Motor City, even though they're off to a good start?
Well, the Verlander thing, I think, was just more of a precaution than anything else. As for Joe Nathan, he's 40 years old and coming off of a pretty bad season, but they do have another potential closer in place in Joaquin Soria, and I think a lot of people expected Soria to take the job sooner than later. This might be the changing of the guard here if he pitches well while Nathan is out.
Also interesting to look at some of the young guys. When you look at some of the new talent in Major League Baseball this year, who are a couple of guys we can focus on that you think not only will have successful seasons, but maybe could have an impact on pennant races?
Well, I think look at those young Blue Jays pitchers, Daniel Norris, who pitched well against the Yankees this week, and Aaron Sanchez as well. Obviously, everybody's waiting for Chris Bryant to come up with the Cubs, but it could be at least a couple weeks and maybe longer than that before he gets there. Let's see, who else? Oh boy, the mind reels here. There's a few we're still just getting familiar with, like Mookie Betts in Boston, and I think we could see Blake Swihart, their catching prospect, the one who's the sticking point in the potential deal for Cole Hamels, who could be up before too long as well.
That Toronto team, too, when you mentioned young guys, another one is the new guy that they've anointed, at least for this week, as the closer. It didn't take long for John Gibbons to pull the plug on Brett Cecil.
Yeah, that's right. They've got some good young arms there, and maybe not a lot of experience, but Miguel Castro, is that his name?
Yeah,
And Robert Osuna. Guys throwing smoke out of the bullpen, that's certainly a big change from last year. The Blue Jays bullpen was nothing to write home about, so some exciting stuff there.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, Major League Baseball Network as well. There's been a lot of preseason hype about a couple of teams in the American League that seem to be the favorites, the trendy picks, the Cleveland Indians and the Seattle Mariners. You think they'll live up to the expectations this year?
Those are two very good teams. They've got a lot of pitching, at least. I was bullish enough on the Indians to select them as my potential AL pennant winner Although, admittedly, that's just a shot in the dark, and my track record on that isn't sterling. They were a wild card team in 2013 and got off to a dreadful start last year, as all their lot of their young pitching and players like Jason Kipnis and Carlos Santana got off to very slow starts. But there's a very good team there, and I think if they can just keep their heads above water early in the season, as opposed to some of their seasons in the past where they've knocked themselves out, I think they are a legitimate threat in the AL Central.
Over in the National League, the Padres got a lot of heads turning with their offseason moves, really right up to the start of the season with their big trade with Atlanta. Is that enough to get them locked in as a contender?
Well, you know, I think the Padres, you know, A.J. Preller has certainly generated some excitement as their new general manager with all the wheeling and dealing he's done. But to me, that team looks more like a warehouse full of baseball parts rather than a cohesive roster. They've got so many outfielders, even after shedding one in the Craig Kimbrell deal. They've got Melvin Upton on the bench and Will Venable. And the infield is still pretty weak. Alexi Amarista at shortstop and Will Middlebrooks or Yennervis Solarte at third base and Yonder Alonso at first base. You'd like to see the Padres swing a deal for at least one real improvement in the infield. I think that would make me feel more confident. But as it is, I think they're capable of winning a wild card spot.
Jay, tell us about the Cooperstown casebook.
That's my book about the Hall of Fame and my JAWS system. Right now we're aiming for a spring 2016 publication. Basically, I'm addressing the most controversial recent and current candidates, recent, current, and upcoming candidates at each position. Some of it will take a similar form to the kinds of profiles I do at Sports Illustrated during Hall of Fame season, and some of it will be more in-depth research on historical trends and kind of just a brief rundown on who's already in the Hall of Fame and why they're there.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to that. And before we let you go, as always, have you got a nice baseball spring weekend beer tip for us?
Let's see. I just had something in Brooklyn Magazine on my so-called starting five for the year. Some of them are kind of tough to find outside of New York City. One that I had, though, that I know you'll like, because I know you're a dark beer guy, is Bell's Kalamazoo Stout from Michigan. For these cold weather months, it's nice to still have some dark beer on hand, and the Kalamazoo Stout is kind of a session stout. It's only about 6 or 6.5% alcohol. And not too heavy. I really like it a lot.
I like the sound of that. Got that written down. I will investigate as soon as we're off the air. Fantastic.
All right. Sounds good, Rich.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great weekend. We'll talk
Thank
with you again
you.
Soon.
You too.
That's Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated.